finally today, to the latest instalment in our irregular series, Only Fools and Marketing Types, where we meet and talk to people whose jobs involve predicting the future. Today, Stuart Brand, an American futurist of note, who was once a darling of the 60s counterculture and whose most recent book, Whole Earth Discipline, is highly critical of those environmentalists he says have turned their back on technology. I caught up with him recently and he agreed to this interview from his floating houseboat come office in California. Well, Stuart Brand, thank you very much for agreeing to be our second guest on our segment Only Fools and Marketing Types. You're a futurist. How do you see your role and what are your responsibilities in terms of the potential impacts of your predictions?
Well, we're careful not to do predictions at Global Business Network, where I'm a co-founder. The thing we purvey is scenario planning, which is basically takes people's idea of the future and divides it at least in four. So you start thinking about three or four different logics the world or your industry might go in that are plausible and seriously different, and then think about developing a strategy for your organization that would be robust against all of those different worlds.
What prompted you to set up the Global Business Network and also your other foundation, the Long Now Foundation?
Well, Global Business Network is commercial, and it grew out of Royal Dutch Shell, actually, where scenario planning was used very effectively. And basically, we've just become purveyors of that technique to the world. It's one of those things that you expect would be a business fad, but 25 years later, it's still going strong, just because it is a productive way to think about at least the near future. The other foundation, the other organization I'm involved with, the Long Now Foundation, where Global Business Network likes to look maybe 20, 30 years into the future, the Long Now Foundation considers the next 10,000 years to be the appropriate time frame. And at the same time, the last 10,000 years, and those combined are the long now.
Can you give us an idea of how you go about, you know, say, tackling a task like that, like looking thousands of years into the future? I mean, how do you start to work out, I guess, what your research paradigm will be?
One thing that is similar between the 20 and 30-year future scenarios and the 10,000-year time frame is you usually look back at least the same amount of time and sometimes twice as much. So in the case of looking ahead 10,000 years, we're looking back at what's happened in the last 10,000 years. And that time frame was picked because in the northern hemisphere, that's when the ice melted and agriculture really got going and thus domestication of animals and farming got going. You got towns. Towns grew into cities. Cities is where civilization happens. So the story of civilization is about 10,000 years old at this point. And we're taking the, I guess, optimistic point of view that we're in the middle of that story. And so the next 10,000 years should have changes at least as dramatic, both in terms of human events and climate events and all the rest of it. So then how do you think about that range of variability? And then what do you do about it?
We often hear criticisms from people, of politicians, of our leaders of industry, that they're not long-term in their thinking. Do you believe that the structures that we've set up in our societies, do they work against a practice of long-term thinking?
To some extent. My feeling is that businesses, in a way, their approach is to focus on the next quarter and on where the market's going to go in the next 4 or 5 years and prepare for that. But I think we hire governments to think long-term for us and to take responsibility for long-term issues like, you know, building and maintaining infrastructure and thinking ahead on major issues coming at us like what do we do as the climate changes. And climate is, I guess, a classic case of you've got to think at least in decade terms and probably in century terms to get any kind of grasp on it. And if you have political people who are going in and out of office every couple of years, that can, I think, work against that. So that's when you start paying more attention to the staffers who maybe are in government for their entire life, appointed types, you know, in the merit positions in government, and say, you know, tell us what you really think. You've been around for 20 years now. How does this look from your perspective?
Now, your latest book, A Whole Earth Discipline, looks at climate change. It looks at our environment. Am I right in saying that a big part of that book is a focus on environmentalists and the way in which you perceive their attitude towards technology has been too selective, that they've been holding us back in addressing some of the big issues?
I think in terms of some technologies, environmentalists, the more kind of romantic ones, like to think that technology is somehow as harmful or something like that. And as a result, we've denied ourselves some pretty important tools. In the book, I'm focusing mainly on transgenic crops, which are a tremendous tool for environmental matters and great improvement in terms of feeding people and agricultural efficiency and the rest of it. And then nuclear power, which once you take climate seriously, basically all the climatologists I know found themselves falling into saying, look, we got to move ahead with nuclear because coal is killing us. And that's usually the choice for baseload electricity is between coal or nuclear. There's now a whole generation of small nuclear reactors coming along that has that whole distributed micropower quality that environmentalists love. You can put the source of energy right next to the customers. You don't have these long power lines crossing the country. You get a lot more resilience in your grid. And what about that? Then you start to see the young separate from the old.
So is it a generational thing? I mean, what's at the heart of the rejection of some of these types of technologies?
With nuclear, it's two things. One is perfectly understandable kind of referred pain from how we feel about nuclear weapons, quite rightly. They are horrifying things, and that horror then sort of bleeds over into nuclear energy, where it's really not appropriate, but it's understandable. And then the other thing that I think was behind certainly my own repugnance, I guess, with nuclear energy until recently was the thought about nuclear waste being around for thousands of years and being a problem. Once climate forced me to look a little closer, I came to realize that nuclear waste, one, is not that big a problem. Two, radiation is not that big a problem. And what had been always described as, you know, these unsolvable issues with nuclear waste have been solved some while ago. It's just a matter of going ahead with what we know.
Now, for an environmentalist who's saying the sorts of things that you're saying about fellow environmentalists and also about the need to rethink nuclear energy, the attacks upon your new book haven't been as harsh as one might have expected. Does that indicate that people are starting to be more open to discussing once unpopular ideas now?
I think so. And, you know, again, it may well be climate that is driving this. I call it whole earth discipline because climate has this global quality to it, and discipline because it is going to take a whole hell of a lot of discipline to get around the problem we've made for ourselves. But I think for people who think of themselves as environmentalists, there's a fundamental shift going on. We've spent all of our lives basically defending natural systems against the incursions of civilization. And now that we're dealing with climate change, in a funny way, we're defending civilization from the incursions of a natural system, which is climate, just doing its thing. And that changes everything. So what you're seeing is a lot of organizations going through sometimes hidden, sometimes overt arguments about what they're about. In the U.S., we've had an argument about whether we're going to expand nuclear power or not. You've got a strongly environmentalist Obama administration that has come out strongly for nuclear power. And as you can imagine, that is pretty controversial here, but it is what is happening. Likewise, in England, the Labour government coming in for 10 new reactors, and if the Conservatives get in, they'll push that even faster. So there's a big shift going on.
Well, Stuart Brand, thank you very much for joining us on Future Tense.
My pleasure.
And his new book is called Whole Earth Discipline.